Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a spirit begins to answer questions that are only thoughts in the listener's mind. A girl in need of help seems to vanish without any further tracks, and we take your calls at 855-853-4802. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hello.
You know, I don't think we shared the story yet on this program and I say program normally, but program, I thought I'd be a little, I don't know what dialect that would be.
I don't know either.
But when we were at a hotel recently and you thought someone walked into the room. We talked about this with your mom the other day.
Did we not share that on
here? I don't think we shared it on here because I remember we told your mom the story. I was thinking, oh, that's what I was thinking of the other day when I wanted to talk about something that had happened recently, but I couldn't, it just didn't come to my mind.
Okay.
So this is kind of a creepy story, and I don't know what to make of it. And it's one of those where you kind of walk away going, well, it could be, it couldn't be. I don't know.
But it has a logical explanation.
It does, if you'd like to believe it.
I firmly believe it.
You do?
Yeah, because I didn't feel weird other than that instance.
I didn't either. I didn't feel weird at all. I just think it's logistically bizarre that someone would, number one, have the ability to do what they did.
Uh-huh.
And to do it. I would think it'd be against, like, policy of the hotel. So.
But if they knew the room was empty.
But they didn't because we already had key. I mean, they had no idea that it was empty. I mean, in theory, we could have already been in there.
I don't know.
So here's what happened.
Okay.
You want to tell the story?
No, you go right ahead.
No.
I don't want to tell it. You tell
it. Okay, so we're walking down the hall to the hotel room. And this is in the city of San Antonio, Texas.
And this was where the hoverboard blew up.
This is where the hoverboard blew up. Yeah, exactly. We talked about that story.
We did.
Yeah. So anyway, we're walking to the room. And I'm looking, I think, like at the key card or something, looking to see what the room number is. And as I'm just kind of fiddling with that. Jenny's looking forward so she doesn't run into a wall while I'm all prepared to run into a wall. And I look up and she's like, no, somebody just walked through that door. I'm like, no, this is our room. It says right here. This is her room. I don't think And I, like, I can't verify it. I said, I honestly, honey, I wasn't looking. I was looking down this whole time. It's like, no, I swear, some guy, and is it in a white shirt?
White shirt, and I knew he had, I couldn't tell if he had, like, dark hair or was dark complected. I couldn't tell.
Sure, because you were just thinking, oh, that's where he's going.
Yeah.
And it turned out that's the room we're supposed to go into. So I knock, and there's no answer. Then I put the key card in, opens the door right away. Nobody in the room. Check the bathroom, check everything. Nobody's there. But there is a door that led out to like a balcony area, if you will, or a courtyard.
A
courtyard area.
Yeah.
Where they were, in fact, there was staff out on this courtyard putting together like a party or something for
and
somebody.
They were all wearing white shirts.
Sure. So maybe that was it. That would make logical sense. It's just to me, logistically, I'm like, number one, does the staff, just whoever's working catering here, have access to go into any room they choose with a key card? Or
I think it was part of the event planning staff,
okay,
if you will. And if you remember, from the elevator all the way back to the room was quite a walk. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, they're making that trip several times with getting everything ready. I could see them completely cutting through a room that leads to the courtyard if they know that room is empty.
The thing, I just don't know how they knew that the room was empty, because we could have easily been in there at the point when that guy did that.
They could have easily just called the front desk and said, you know, hey, just for the sake of logistics, can we just cut through?
And they had been earlier in the day and thought, oh, we can just keep, okay.
Yeah, and see, I didn't feel weird or get any bad vibes in there, and I just feel like that's all that was going on. But it kind of freaked me out because I saw somebody go into that room.
Sure. I don't know. You're making this not as ghostly as I...
Well, I don't think it's a ghost story. I think it's a that's messed up story. But...
You're right. You know, it is kind of messed up. It's one of those where, you know, you could theoretically look at both angles of it. Mm-hmm. And go, that's odd. There could be something odd there. But this portion points to it probably not being.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was kind of a creepy,
we'll see,
ghosty-ish story.
Yeah. But this just goes to show we consider, you know,
yeah,
plausible explanations before we go to, oh, it was a ghost.
Not everything is a ghost. And no. I think we almost thought it was a ghost until we looked out into the veranda or the courtyard area and saw, oh, there's people here in white shirts.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just thought I'd share. Kind of spooky. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Our first letter today comes into us from Melissa, and Melissa writes, "In Dear Tony and Jenny, in my search for quality entertainment about the paranormal, I came across Real Ghost Stories Online. When I first listened to the podcast, my initial reaction was, wow, that is a horrible show. I'm turning it off right now."
That's not what he said.
Kidding.
She said,
"Wow, that host Tony is really off the wall with his comments. However, I came to enjoy and appreciate the random humor, reinforced by Jenny's candid observations like how raisins can F up a perfectly good cookie." I completely agree with that statement.
There's no reason for raisins to be in a cookie.
No, but they're delicious on a salad.
I still don't like them.
Anti-raisinite.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch the California Raisins?
Yeah.
The television show?
Those are the only raisins I've ever liked.
"I have raised a blended household with 6 children, so you can bet we have had our fair share of bunk beds. Unfortunately, I don't have any stories about them, but I do about my stepson's experiences with an apparition for another time. For now, my story has to do with, you got it, dun, 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 a Ouija board. I've played with a Ouija for the first time when I was 10 or 11 years old at a slumber party, although I believe back then the planchette moved by mysterious forces. I never placed any thought onto demonic influences behind it. Year later, when I was in college, I befriended a fellow dorm resident named Sarah. She was tall, beautiful, and easygoing. She once shared that her mom was reincarnated from a butterfly, but I don't think anything of it. I reason Sarah's eccentric interests stemmed from being raised by a flower child and listening to the Grateful Dead. While at a store one day, I saw a Ouija board on sale for $13. I excitedly purchased the box because it was fun when I was a kid, and what was the harm if Parker Brothers made the game, right? Besides, I had an open-minded friend to play with because, after all, her mother was a butterfly. Around the same time that I bought the game, I had been dumped by a boyfriend of 2 years. Needless to say, the emotional stress predisposed me to becoming vulnerable to the Ouija. At first, playing the Ouija was entertaining. It started off slow, and when Sarah and I placed our fingers on the planchette, we concentrated hard to encourage it to move and audibly asked typical broken-hearted girl questions like, "Does he like me as a girlfriend or just as a friend?" However, in just a matter of weeks, then with playing with the Ouija, the planchette forcefully moved with barely a touch from either of us and answered questions directly from our thoughts. We were one with the spirit, identified itself as Lou. Lou was like a friend, a confidant in which we could ask questions to share our inner feelings with. The only one question Lou would never answer was where in a room it was. Lou spelled that it didn't want to scare us, otherwise we may not want to communicate ever again. Sarah focused mostly on what she could do to win the keen eye of a student she liked, an upperclassman from a billionaire hotel family. Lou answered that she should cut her hair. I knew it sounded silly. We thought so too. Cut hair? What kind of answer is that? Sarah and I thought how ludicrous a suggestion to rid of her glowing, healthy mane that ran down her back. However, Sarah bit the bullet, got her hair cut, shoulder length, and sure enough, the wealthy upperclassman asked her out and they began dating. From that point on, Lou had clearly gained our trust, and we began to skip class every day just to play. It was evident that we became dependent on and obsessed with Lou. One night while playing in the middle of Sarah's room, her door was open to the dorm hallway. Three male students walked by and looked in. Though we had never seen or met these guys before, they all stopped and walked into her room. One guy asked, "Is that a Ouija board? Does it work?" To which we answered, "Yes." He then asked, "If it works, then what is my dad's name?" With her fingers on the planchette, Lou spelled out, "David." The guy was taken aback with disbelief. "That's my dad's middle name." He pretty much freaked out. He didn't feel comfortable being in the room and hightailed it out with his friends in tow. Soon after that, my ex-boyfriend and his friend Mike walked by the room and saw us playing the Ouija. Although I knew Mike was a sarcastic smartass, I wanted to impress my ex-boyfriend, so I asked Lou if they could join us. Lou refused, spelling out that he didn't like Mike. In turn, Mike ridiculed Lou and said it was a bunch of shit. Mike mocked, "Where are you, ghost?" To which Lou said it was floating in the far upper corner of Sarah's dorm room. Yep, Lou shared exactly what it said it never wanted to do to frighten us with its presence, even if we couldn't visually see it. We immediately stopped the game as I was scared for having offended Lou by bringing Mike into the game. I didn't sleep at all that night and tried to dispose of the Ouija board by burning it. You ever try to burn a cardboard Ouija board? It doesn't. I ended up just tossing the board and the planchette in a dumpster off campus and thought, that was the end of it. About 2 months later, I reasoned to myself how foolish I was for self-inflicting such paranoia and decided to make my own Ouija board while on Christmas break time at home. Again, it's just a game, right? My mother walked into the kitchen and saw that I drew out letters and numbers on a large piece of paper. Though I never told my Japanese mother what had happened while I was at school, she warned me not to summon the spirits through Kokuri, a game in Japan that is similar to Ouija. I shrugged my shoulders and proceeded to ask questions using a glass cup as the eye. It took some time for the cup to move, but then it moved in rapid, furious circles all over the table. I felt as if there was a force full of rage by the cup's movement. I asked out loud, "Why won't you talk to me?" The cup stopped and spelled, "You burned me." It wasn't until many years later that I discovered how foolish I was with the many don'ts of Ouija. Number one, I played in a weakened mental and physical state. Number two, by consulting more and more with Lou and skipping classes, I fell into progressive entrapment. And three, improperly disposing of the board and burning it was the worst action I could take. Despite my experiences, I don't tell anyone not to play with a Ouija, because I did have fun as a kid at once. As a foolish adult, on the other hand, I leave it to listeners to decide for themselves to research beforehand. Thank you much, Tony and Jenny, for your podcast. I enjoyed your free program so much I couldn't get enough, and so I subscribed as an EPP member a couple months ago. I'm actually surprised by how many EPP programs there are and wonder if I'll ever be able to get through them all. In any case, I'm grateful they are available for my guilty pleasure at home and at work, and most of all appreciate for the paranormal community that you created in which to share stories with. Melissa from San Francisco.
So is it still following her?
I don't know either. I want to know more.
I do too. I want to know if it isn't how she got rid of it.
please let us know, because it sounds like she had other stories too. She mentioned at the front of the story,
right,
that she'd like to share. So in your next letter, you know, do a little recap, mm-hmm. answering some questions, and then we'd love to hear some of those other experiences that you have. Do you think some people are more prone to be followed by whatever comes through the Ouija board than others, or is everyone pretty much free game?
I think, if I were to guess, that it probably follows people that give it the most attention. Those that are, like, clueless to anything going mm-hmm. on or changing, not picking up little subtle changes,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to probably waste any more of their time.
So you're saying the dead or whatever sort of spirits are coming through are only going to latch onto or get in front of, if you will, those who are going to be observant enough to realize they are there.
I think so.
There's an advantage to when you're a person who's very much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, it's an advantage to being kind of stupid right then.
I wouldn't say that it's because of stupidity.
Well, if you're just not with it, you know, you're not aware of your surroundings.
Blissfully ignorant?
Blissfully ignorant,
okay.
Yes. There's the one time being blissfully ignorant is probably a good thing.
Yes.
Although there's probably others as well. But,
I know what you're saying.
But that's one of them.
Right.
You know, where sometimes you just look at people who are like that and go, I kind of wish I could go through life like that. But then you realize like you'd miss out on a lot of things too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one case where that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because then those things would not be following or trying to get in contact. Thank you for sharing that story. Whitney writes in, I've had quite a few paranormal experiences in my life, but I rarely share them for fear of being judged. However, I was listening to an old episode back from April of 2015 and heard a story from a gentleman named Ren. And I believe his name was talking about the ghost that looked like Argus Filch.
And I don't know who that is, but I remember Ren talking about that.
Yeah, what was Argus Filch?
I think it was kind of a... I don't know. You should pull it up.
Okay, call it every five right now on the Ghost Lines to tell us who Argus Filch is with a free one-leg and thigh chicken dinner from Ma and Pa's Grocery Express.
Okay.
Argus Filch is a Harry Potter character. He's a caretaker of Hogwarts. Da-da-da! Congratulations, caller five. Who made you a winner?
Real Ghost Stories Online.
That's right!
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, creepy looking dude, it looks like. Continuing onward with that portion of the story. I have a story from a paper route that I used to do with my mom when I was about 17. 10 years ago. Anyway, we've always picked up our papers for delivery at a small storage unit on Sundays. You had to stuff the papers, which just means adding all the ads and whatnot to the actual newspaper and roll it up and bagging it. At the time, we lived in northern Indiana, to be exact. The weather at this point was turning sour there. Probably had to be at least 4 inches of snow already. So we were stuffing our papers at the storage unit, talking, laughing, and essentially minding our own business when I looked up and saw this girl, maybe around early 20s, pink sweater and black skirt that looked like a poodle skirt from back in the day, and long blonde hair that was hanging over her face, and she was just crawling through the snow. And the way she was crawling was almost like slow motion. Girl from The Ring or something. I thought I'd lost my shit and asked my mom, who up till this point had been silent, if she was seeing this, and she said yes. Right behind the storage unit, there was a bar, and they were doing karaoke, and I knew this because of how loud it was, so I thought that maybe she was hurt or drunk or both. So 17-year-old me got out of the car, started walking towards her, and asked her, are you okay? No response. A little closer and raised my voice and asked, are you okay? That moment, I got a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach that told me something wasn't right here, and she stopped and turned toward me, but I never saw her face, and she never spoke. I calmly, without taking my eyes off her, went back to the car, got in, and told my mom about how I felt. As soon as I shut the door, she started crawling again. We were still concerned, thinking this was a real person, so my mom called the cops as we watched her crawl away. They showed up, talked to us briefly, and they searched the area. We were getting ready to pull out to deliver our papers, and the cops who talked to us came back to his car, and I got out and asked him if they had found her. He said that they found the tracks from her crawling through the snow, and they followed it to the middle of this little field, and right in the middle of the field, the tracks just stopped. No other footprints or any other kind of indication of where she went. I said, holy shit. The cop chuckled and said, that was my thought. I apologize for the length of my story. Are awesome and take care.
I love stories where cops can validate what happened or the lack of what happened, I guess.
It's just such a creepy thought, the whole crawling thing. And I think, I mean, it goes back to the, you know, the horror movies where, you know, the woman's like crawling, you know, like a spider or something with her arms bent the wrong way. And trying to think of what movie that was a while. You know, the Exorcism of Emily Rose, I think, was kind of where a lot of that look started. And then it was kind of copied everywhere. But it's just such a scary image.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like, hey, arms aren't supposed to bend that way. You look to be pretty limber. How are you doing that? you know, and then it's like they look up in the black eyes or something.
Sure.
So that's pretty messed up. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. We really do appreciate it. Number's 855-853-4802. Did you, and I know you've seen it, I guess I'm figuratively asking the listeners, did you see the Saturday Night Live from a couple weeks back from the point of this airing where Larry David was the host? And you might not remember, you were kind of sleeping or on and off. Do you remember the commercial, the fake commercial they put on for Totino's Pizza Rolls where Larry David was in it?
No.
Let me share. This is new for everyone.
Okay.
Then. So it's just the typical, and YouTube this, everybody, because this is just hilarious and it's totally my sense of humor. It's like something I would have written. So it's the typical happy, hey, who wants Totino's Pizza Rolls? And, you know, it's just the happy wife. She's coming out to the living room and all the guys are watching the game and they're screaming, no, go, yeah. And she's never seeing the screen. She's just seeing all the guys yelling at the game. And eventually she comes out with the Totino's Pizza Rolls and it looks like your typical pizza roll ad. And then she sees the TV and it's completely a blank screen. And suddenly it gets really weird.
Okay.
And she's asked, like, guys, what are you watching? There's nothing on the screen. And they just keep, like, randomly doing this. And she's never quite seeing their faces.
Uh-huh.
Except for them yelling at the screen all in unison as if they're watching a game. And she's getting really flabbergasted and freaked out. And she drops the pizza rolls everywhere. And then they all turn around and they have the black eyes, like black-eyed children. it's the darkest, most screwed up Totino's Pizza Roll fake commercial you ever see.
That's great.
Very much a Larry David creation.
Yeah.
I think some of my screwed up humor that I have is really a product of watching Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, you know, from pretty much the age of, I don't know, probably around 5 or 6 until it ended.
Yeah.
Really. So that would have been into the junior high years. But I remember as a kid, I mean, you think I've screwed up humor now. I think it was based on some of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I remember as a kid, like, watching some of Seinfeld's jokes and stuff, and I got them. Like, I understood most of that show when I was a kid. It's probably not a good thing, but I did. And I remember then, like, going into my third grade class, then trying to repeat some of the jokes and some of the humor. And the third graders were just like, what? What are you, huh? What are you? I'm, like, trying to do a routine of some sort. Yes, yeah. This is me.
And see, I never watched Seinfeld as a kid. In fact, we're going through all of them now, and I saw the Soup Nazi one for the first time last night.
Yeah.
So it's all new to me.
I envy you being able to experience this all as brand new material.
It's great.
Because it is just a gold mine of a show for a great old TV show. And I haven't seen it in so many years. Some of it is kind of refreshing. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it kind of feels new to me. But at one point, I think I watched every episode over the course of my life, probably at least 10 to 20 times. At least, uh-huh. At least. At one point, I could almost recite them. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to the caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Carlos calling you from Illinois. Just wanted to tell you guys that I love the show. I've been totally hooked on it, listening to it every episode. And look forward to becoming an EVP soon. Those little teasers that you guys do within every episode of the stories in the EPP section are just driving me crazy, and I just can't wait. Anyways, these are like little experiences. They're not really groundbreaking or super scary, but I just thought I'd share with you guys, you know, my stories. They're pretty short stories, and they all happened while listening to your show, actually. And it kind of creeped me out, but, I mean, I never had any big paranormal experiences. And but I still, you know, thought that I'd share them with you. So the first one was a few days ago, and I was at my house. Yeah, some people at work, but since I wasn't really feeling well, I stayed in my room, and I was just listening to your show. And while I was listening to your show, you know, you guys were discussing and giving your thoughts on the recent story that was being told. And all of a sudden, the show stopped. Like, I was hearing it through my headphones, and it just stopped. Like, someone paused it. And right at that moment that, you know, the show stopped, I heard, like, a creak on my bed. Like, if someone were to sit on it. And I turned around, and, well, there was no one there. And that kind of creeped me out a bit. And after I heard that creak on the bed, a few moments later, the show went back on and continued until the end with no interruptions. And so that was my first experience. And my second experience was also listening to your show, and I was at work. And while I was listening to your show, I was cleaning, because my job is a facility house cleaning in a pharmaceutical company. And so I was in the bathroom cleaning. I was cleaning, like, a hand dryer. And the walls are kind of thick, I would say. And I heard, like, someone knock on the wall. Like, someone was knocking on the other side of the wall. And the same thing happened, like, the show stopped, and I heard, like, three knocks, like, boom, boom, boom. And I stopped for a second. I was like, what the hell was that? And after that, a few seconds later, the show went back on again. And so I don't know what caused it. I don't know if someone or something is trying to get my attention. But just want to hear your thoughts about it, maybe. Maybe it's all my imagination, I don't know, but yeah, I thought I'd share that with you. I know that they weren't really creepy or, like, super scary or anything, but, oh well. Anyways, keep up the great work, guys, and I really hope to become an EVP and on your show. Bye-bye.
Okay. We don't take responsibility for any paranormal activity that may be occurring during the listening to this program.
Parental discretion is advised.
You know, we get that a lot, but, you know, I would assume that if something were really going on because of the show, we'd be the most haunted people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We don't really have much. You know, every once in a while. This is real wood, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Every once in a while we have, like, something where we're out somewhere, but it's rarely ever anything here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think of anything here ever. That's been, you know, paranormal. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if, you know, sometimes your people are listening, if sometimes it stirs up things at specific areas and locations that already have something at it, and this somehow brings out the topic, brings out the idea, I don't know.
Yeah.
Brings out the dead. But I don't know the answer to that. But it is true. It does happen.
Yeah, it does.
So, thank you for that story. Thank you for that account. It's always interesting to hear about not only where people are listening, but what sort of undead people are showing up to join in the party. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. The EPP stuff you're hearing about, by the way, that's our extra podcast person program. You sign up on the website. It's only $5 a month. You get access to all of our bonus episodes. We do one a week, and we're up to almost like 80 of them now. And you have access to all 80 of them, 80 hours of some of the best ghost stories we have ever done. And it's not like a greatest hits from the regular episodes. These are stories that are only on EPP episodes. So if you want to be really freaked out, if you like the regular free show, trust me, the EPP episode, even better. Just some of the, like I said, the best stories that we get and go into that show. And it's only $5 a month. That's what fuels this thing. That's what keeps this thing alive. I do wish we could keep it alive just on good vibes, but that doesn't seem to work.
So, I wish everybody operated on that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there are hard costs with doing this thing, so that's how we fuel it. So the good vibes are translated to $5 a month, and you get all the extra stuff. We put as much good vibes into the EPP stuff with bonus video content as well. So please do support the show and enjoy all that stuff. It is it's good. Here's another caller. Hi.
Hey there, Tony, Jenny, and Jenny Bruschi. My name is Christian. I just tried called you guys, but I got interrupted. So I'm going to retell my story, and I hope it gets out there and so people can listen to it. So I wrote you guys a story last year, back in January or February, I think. It was me driving my truck in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I seemed to hit this phantom lady in black, or maybe an apparition or something. But I'm here to tell you guys another personal story of mine, which happened back last year in December 20. And so basically, I was driving in the back roads of Georgia, and I was on my way home for take a week off for Christmas. And at that time, I was riding with a coworker of mine. His name is Beezy. Beezy was asleep the whole time until he got slapped in the face, and I'm going to get to that. But if you guys or any listeners have ever been driven in the back roads of Georgia, South Carolina, or North Carolina, you'll notice that some of the highways have cemeteries or graveyards just like right next to it. It plays a big factor, I think, for my personal experience. But I was driving in the back roads of Georgia around 2 a.m. at night, because BZ does not like driving at night, and I prefer to drive at night, so I was driving at night at that time. I had my windows down, and I haul like frozen foods and stuff, and the reefer I haul the trailer I haul is a reefer unit, and it turns itself on and off just to correct the temperature. And when I was driving, I had the windows down. The reefer unit started to make a noise that was louder than my truck, and my truck is doesn't have any muffler or anything. It's just like a really loud truck and stuff. But it made a big sound, so I decided to stop in the middle of the highway. It was like a two-lane road, didn't have any shoulder or anything, but I was 3 hours into my driving during that night, and didn't even see any car or any truck passing by and stuff. So I got outside, got my flashlight, and I inspected the reefer unit. You know, everything was fine, the temperature was fine, and then I heard this really loud banging inside my trailer. So I thought, what the heck? Well, did someone or something get inside the trailer? So I started to walk back to the back of the trailer, which is like 60 or 50 feet away, and that's when I noticed that the trailer doors were still closed, and the seal has not been tampered with or cut. So that's when I thought to myself, that's pretty weird. And so usually when I do an inspection like this, I start from the driver's side, make a circle, walk back, and onto the passenger side. Just basically make a big circle, walk around. About 30 feet in the middle of the trailer, that's when I saw my passenger side of the door open, and this like white figure, it looked like a female, just, you know, jumped off real fast and into the dark. And I could not see if it was like a young woman or elderly woman, but at that time I was not thinking of anything paranormal. But I was at that time I was thinking maybe she's a thief or something, because I do have some pretty valuable stuff inside my truck. I was pretty pissed, so I ran after her, and I got inside the truck, and nothing was inside. But I did see both doors was open. My driver's side door was open, and I clearly remember that I always close the door when I walk around and stuff. So both doors was open, and that's when BZ got up, and he yelled at me. He said, "Hey, why the hell did you slap me?" And I said, "No, I did not slap you, man." And I kind of shrugged it off. I'm a driver with over 1 million miles of experience, and when shit happens, paranormal or not, I just shrug it off, or I just have an expression of whatever. And maybe I am a religious person. I am Roman Catholic, and I do have some like religious symbols in my truck. And maybe there was an entity or something was trying to get inside, and because I had the religious symbols, that alone made it go away. You know, the only thing I have in my truck is a cross sign, and this thing here, which is called the Holy Land Collection, is basically a collection of four vials, consisting of the holy water, the holy soil, the holy oil, and the holy incense. I don't know if those four things play a significant role in driving things the way I know holy water does, but so I just decided to call you guys and tell you my story, and keep up the good work. I listen to it every night when I'm driving. So yeah, bye.
I bet if we went to a truck stop anywhere in the U.S., somebody would know who we were.
You think?
I think so. I mean, and I think that's kind of cool. And just because we have a lot of truckers right now listen to us, who are over the road, and they, you know, there's so many things that, you know, with radio, you're pretty much satellite or podcasts, mm-hmm. Because you know, regular terrestrial radio, you gotta find the new station every, you know, so many miles, and this is, seems to be, we have a lot of audience out there. I think that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. And I was kind of thinking when he was telling the story about how his partner got slapped, you know, maybe that was out of frustration because of the articles he did have in his truck with him, mm-hmm. to keep him safe. It's kind of like piss the ghost off, slap the crap out of the partner. I don't know.
It's, you know, there's a lot of assumptions as to what or where. We have a lot of stories like this from people who are on the road, and just almost like he said, he's like, "I'm so used to this whenever it happens, I'm just kind of like, whatever." Mm-hmm. So it's hard to really, you know, pinpoint exactly what or where, you know, or what or why, rather, these things are happening. You know, raises a good point. You raise a good point. It could very easily be something to do with that, or it could also just be randomly this thing was happening at that wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
And you're seeing this thing there. No one will ever really know, but indeed, thank you for sharing that experience with us here. Our phone number, toll free, 855-853-4802. I believe that works toll free in the U.S. and Canada. I know every once in a while we get calls from overseas, and I couldn't tell you if it works as toll free over there. I don't believe it does, but anyway, that's how you call into the show. Of course, you can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And some people have been really creative. And I know we've had some people ask about that from other countries. As I know, in some places, a phone number just doesn't work unless you're wanting to pay extremely high long-distance costs. Another way to get stories to us, actually, is, in fact, just to record your story, like, on your iPhone or something. Just use that little recording feature. We've had people do that before. Just make sure you're not, like, over-modulating in, so it's like, "I'm a ghost story, sir." Just talk normally.
Uh-huh.
And then you can always email us that if you'd like to share your story in your own words. You can email Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. So that's another way.
That works.
I thought I'd just share that because I know people ask every now and then. They're like, "Hey, you know, we're in Australia. I don't want to, you know, spend $42 calling the show. How can I share it other than writing it?"
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way to do it.
That works.
Just record it that way and then email me the, I think it's like an M43 or 2 or whatever the hell it is. is. We'll figure out a way to open it. And then that works.
Okay.
There you go, as our three-year-old would say. Not go, goat. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Anna from Illinois. I'm calling in because I heard you guys talking about black dogs in the last episode, and Jenny was wondering what they meant. And I was hoping I might be able to shed a little light on the subject. And I also have a story about one of my mom's coworkers that has to do with a black dog. So I did a little research because it is a topic that has come up in my life more than once recently. And I did know a little bit about it, but I was still curious. So what I did know, I actually learned from Harry Potter. A character in the series, Sirius Black, is able to turn himself into his animagus or animal form called Padfoot, which happens to be a big black dog. In the series, characters see his animagus and think that he is the Grimm, which is one of the more prominent legends in the UK about a big black dog that is supposed to be a death omen. I went on Wikipedia and found that this is basically the gist of most versions of the legend, but the dog has different names and slightly different descriptions, but it's always a big black furry dog, and it always has something to do with death. It is theorized that the legend grew out of the European mythology of dogs being the guardians of the underworld, or also hellhounds. Versions of the black dog are found throughout Europe, most prominently in the UK and in some parts of Latin America. So that's the basic explanation of it. But if you go on the wiki page, it has more detail, and it even lists specific stories of people who claim to have seen the dog. But now I'll get to my story. It is actually a story my mom told me that one of her coworkers recently told her. Her coworker was at a get-together at her friend's house and wanted to smoke. But the hosts of the get-together are not smokers and didn't want her smoking in the house, so she headed outside. It was cold, so she decided to just open the garage door and stand in there while she smoked. But when she put the door up, she saw a giant black dog standing in the driveway. And she said it was snarling and growling and glaring at her and looked like it was about to attack her. So she quickly shut the garage door and ran back in the house. She was really upset, and they all looked out the window to see if it was still there, and it was gone. And they went outside and looked all around, but there was no sign of it anywhere. And I guess up until this point, you might think, well, this probably isn't paranormal. It's probably just like a stray dog that maybe has rabies or something and just ran away really fast after scaring her. So it's fairly easy to explain it away if you're willing to kind of think about it a lot. But the real kicker is that later they found out that there was actually a gas leak in the garage. So had she tried to light a cigarette, the whole garage would have, like, basically exploded. So in a way, that dog protected her. It could have still just been a stray dog that happened to be there at the night at the right time, I guess, but it just lines up so perfectly, and I don't really believe in coincidences. I also thought it was interesting that the original legend is that the black dog is a death omen, but this one saves her life. But yeah, I thought you guys might enjoy the story, and I hope you could. I hope I could help in explaining some of the folklore behind the Grimm. And I'd be interested to hear your take on it. So yeah, I love the podcast. I'm a huge, avid listener, and I just became an EPP. It was one of my Christmas presents. So I know it's kind of long, but that was my story. Thanks. Bye.
This holiday season, give the gift of death, the gift of ghosts. It's a great gift.
You know, maybe the dog was still a death omen, kind of like if you light up, you're going to die.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I mean, that's an interesting take on it.
I was just thinking that, you know, not necessarily, hey, let's be like Benji the helpful black dog and just help people not die, but kind of like, you're about to die.
Be the warning dog.
Yeah.
The dog that goes around and gives you warnings and, like, that are constantly ignored.
Yeah.
Be the frustrated warning omen dog. It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to hear some of the history on it, too. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the term the Hounds of Hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that was in Thriller, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stand and face the Hounds of Hell or rot inside a corpse's shell. Remember when I was a kid, I used to love that, and I would listen to that over and over, and I had that whole, like, Vincent Price part memorized.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember going to my grandma's house and repeating it once. And she was like, what are you talking about?
I bet you scared her.
It was great. She wasn't really up on a lot of pop culture things. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. The other horrible thing I did to my grandma once, and I love my grandma. She was a nice lady. Because I just like to trick her. I like to play games, but not like maliciously, just like little kids. Boo, I want to scare you. You know, mm-hmm. that sort of deal. There was this powder I got at a magic store at the Mall of America. And I swear to God, I think I still have it somewhere. It like shows up randomly, like in boxes, like as I'm going through things. I'm like, oh my God, I still have this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I got it like on our family vacation there. It was probably fourth or fifth grade. And I've never used all of it. But essentially what it does, you pour like a teaspoon of this powder into a cup of water. It's a magician's trick. And then the water is solidified. And you can turn, or it becomes very gel-like.
Okay.
It's just basically instant, like some sort of gelification of the water. And it's a magician trick where, you know, you can like, hey, look, empty cup, you know, see, no water in here. Nothing. And then you pour the water in, then you turn the cup upside down, and or like you're going to throw the water at somebody and nothing comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh my God, you know, it's a trick. So I tried to do this trick once to my grandma, and I apparently didn't put enough gel in the cup.
Oh no.
Enough of the powder stuff to gelify it to a good solid consistency. So I pull it in the cup and I'm like, oh, see? And I take the cup and I literally like... act like I'm, you know, going to toss water at her,
uh-huh.
thinking that it's going to stay stuck in the cup, which is what it's supposed to do. No, it was more like soft jello. It came out of the cup and all over my grandma's face.
That's horrible.
And she was just like horrified. Because normally I'm like a really good kid. Like I never, ever got yelled at by my grandparents or my grandpa. I remember like the one time my grandpa ever yelled at me. Other than that, I was like the best grandson. I was always good.
Mm-hmm.
And, she just didn't know, like, is he gone mad? You know, like, why would he take this cup of water and just like chuck it at my face? And then I had to try and explain myself, like, mm-hmm. like, no, oh my God, like, this is what happened. This is what was supposed to, he was supposed to do this. And again, kind of that, like, not quite getting it, but she went along with it.
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know, probably third or fourth grade.
Okay.
Right around
like
there.
Like Livy's age.
Yeah. I felt horrible, though, because it was like, I never intended harm on anyone. But then she was just, I just remember that look on her face. And she doesn't swear or anything like that. Just this look of what the hell. So, anywho. Hi, let's hear your story. All right. Here, let's go to this one. Let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. So, I've had a lot of crazy things happening to me as far as, like, sensing things and different stuff like that. But I decided I'd share a really nice story. Or, I mean, it wasn't really nice, but the outcome was nice, I guess. So, anyways, I just had my baby. She's a preemie. She's wonderful. She's perfect. So I was 7 months pregnant when this happened, and I was like 117 pounds before I had her, and I had preeclampsia, so that's why she was a preemie, and I just gained all this weight at the end of my pregnancy. It was really crazy. So I couldn't lay on my back because I couldn't breathe. I think a lot of women are like that when they're pregnant. So I couldn't lay my back because I couldn't breathe. But for some strange reason, I would end up waking up on my back, catching myself snoring, or needing to catch my breath. So anyways, one night, I guess I was sleeping really, really deep because like, I want to say I was asleep. I'm not really sure anymore. I kind of wonder, maybe I was half awake, half asleep. I don't know. It was weird. But I heard somebody telling me that I needed to, like, wake up. That I needed to catch my breath and I need to hurry up. Like, I just heard this panicked voice in my head. And, like, as soon as I snapped and I woke up, like, I took the biggest breath of my life. Like, I felt like I was being suffocated. And then the pillow was taken off my face and I just caught some fresh air. Like, it was ridiculous. It was, like, I just wonder if, that voice hadn't told me to wake up and to catch my breath if, me and my baby wouldn't be here to this day. So that's my story. Maybe I'll call in and tell some of my really creepy stories. Anyways, thanks for listening, and I hope you two have a wonderful day.
You know, there is a link between pregnancy and heightened incidences of paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe something was following her, not necessarily something bad, but something good, and just kind of spoke to her, literally.
Something, yeah, literally just trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, the all other fail-proof methods have not worked, of just the body going and moving.
Sure.
Now I have to step in and do my ghostly duties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
Me too.
I think it makes a lot of sense in that situation. Thank you for sharing that experience with us and that story. We do greatly appreciate that, and all the best to you and your baby. Thanks for listening to the show. It's good. This is a great show to put kids down to when they're going to bed instead of lullabies. You just turn on Real Ghost Stories Online. Kids love it.
No.
Okay, don't do that. That's not a good idea. There you go. If you like the show, please help keep us on the air. Support us. Become a EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus stuff. Sign up on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. Click Become an EPP. And thank you in advance for doing just that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.